Today's daf is Maseches Tamid, daf Chaf Tes. We begin the second parak of Tamid and come close to finishing, hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, the second parak of Maseches Tamid today. They go one after another, these parakim. They're all short, they're all quick. So the Mishnah says, now we've discussed the Trumas Adashen, says the Mishnah, Ra'u Achiv Shayared, so his brethren, the other Kohanim, see that he's come down, he's finished the Trumas Adashen, Vahim Ratzim Uva'im, and they immediately run and start coming and start moving. And again, the imagery that you get is one of extreme Zrizos, because right, the terminology that the Gemara uses of Vahim Ratzim, that they're running, obviously is meant to convey an image of incredible Zrizos in order to go do the Avoda, which was a very critical part of the experience in the Beis HaMikdash. Maru v'kitru yideim ragleim, and again, maharuth, so they went quickly, v'kitru yideim ragleim, and they were mekadesh, they washed their hands and their feet, min ha-kiyar, from the kiyar, natlos ha-magrefos v'asatinoros v'alu rosh ha-mizbeach, they took the shovels and the forks, and they went up to the top of the mizbeach, they varm v'apadarim shalom nis'achlu mi'barev sokmos on al-tzidei ha-mizbeach, and the limbs of the animals that were not, that of the korbanos that were not completely consumed overnight, they moved over to the side of the mizbeach temporarily. We'll see why they need to set up the wood for today, and then they'll bring these limbs back. And if the sides of the mizbeach were not large enough to hold all of these limbs, so then they would take advantage of the sovev and the kevesh of the mizbeach to hold the limbs. So they started bringing up on the ashes on the tapuach. What is the tapuach? Tapuach the tapuach was this large mound of ashes in the middle of the mizbeach, and sometimes it had on it 300 kor. The Gemara is going to discuss whether that's an exaggeration or not. Sometimes it had 300 kor of ashes on the mizbeach. But on the regalim, they wouldn't be medashin it because it's a noy for the mizbeach. It's beautiful for the mizbeach to show how much activity there was on the mizbeach. So that's why on the regalim they didn't take the dasha and they didn't take the ashes off of the tapuach, because it was considered to be something very nice that the mizbeach had going on over there. Now the a couple of things over here. The very need for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim at this stage, the Bartanur writes that the kiddush yadayim was kidei lavod avoda, was in order to enable them to do avoda. But he doesn't say what avoda they needed to do. The Rashi in Zvachim says they needed to do the kiddush kidei lahotzias adeshen, that the makom that's in the makom ha'maracho or l'salkol the tapuach that's in the emtzah mizbeach. So the Achronim just are troubled by that. That's not an avoda to be motzi the deshen or to bring the deshen onto the tapuach. It's not one of the dalit avodas. So why do you need kiddush yadayim raglayim? And also by atzos deshen, the Rambam writes atzos deshen luchutz is ena avoda. So why would all this need kiddush yadayim raglayim? So the Mikdash David writes that we see from Rashi that it's muchach mikan in Rashi shita that he holds that atzos deshen is avoda, and he holds that right away. When we're b'tchilas ha'alos ha'efer al gabi ha'tapuach from the makom ha'aracha, so the avoda of hotzah begins, and therefore you chayiv to do kiddush even by the silik hadeshen to the tapuach, because that is the beginning of the process of hotzah sedeshen. I mean, the first step in the process is taking all the scattered ashes and piling it up in the center of the mizbeach on this large tapuach. The Mikdash David quotes from the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis, who writes that Dvar Toruhu she'in kreivim lamizbeach v'lo l'shum davar minavodos elo la'achar kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. The Rambam seems to imply that even going krev al mizbeach, going close to the mizbeach, the gisha al mizbeach itself requires kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, and that's what they're doing. Not because they need to do an avodah, but apparently there's a din that just going close, just going to the mizbeach itself is enough to require kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Now this tapuach, the Mefarish says tapuach is this giant pile in the middle of the mizbeach that they would shovel the ashes of the maracha into this pile. Mishpatayil, and it was called Tapuach, the Mefarish says, because it was a large round thing shaped like an apple. It was shaped like a Tapuach. We have such a similar thing in Masech Savod Zar, that we call something round, something that looks like an apple, they call it a Tapuach. The Rush says that no, it's a Dover Mekubetz V'Gavoa Nikra Tapuach. That's something that's gathered and tall. We call it Tapuach, a mound. Tapuach is a lashon of a mound. It's not a lashon of apple. It has nothing to do with it being round, just being large and tall. So the Mishnah then said that on the regalim they wouldn't be medashing the mizbeach because it was noy lemizbeach. So I read you the Mishnah the way 95% of the Rishonim read the Mishnah, that on the regalim and the yamim tovim, and it was so nice that there were so many karbanos, so it was a noy lemizbeach to have all these ashes, because lots of ashes means lots of karbanos. However, the Ravid and Rabbeinu Gershom read this Mishnah a little bit differently. They say it's not beragalim lo hayu medashin, biraglayim lo hayu medashin. They wouldn't be medashin the mizbech with their legs, meaning they would use shovels, they would use their hands, but the raglayim of the kohanim, they would not be used to sweep the ashes to the middle of the mizbech, because that's a genai lemizbech to use your feet. Similar to what the Gemara in Chulin says, that you can't do kisei adam with your foot by kicking dirt onto the blood, because that's a bizui mitzvah. It's a great mitzvah to do the kisei adam, and if you're doing it with your feet, it's a bizui mitzvah. So the Ravid quotes this shita, and he says a lot of people don't like this shita, because what's the chiddush that you're not allowed to be medashin beraglayim? Even if there's no iser bedavar, you can't do it, because it's just practically unfeasible. I mean, they're barefoot, and it's hot. We're talking about hot coals and ashes that they're dealing with over here. So what how could the Mishnah be teaching me this great chiddush that they wouldn't use their feet because of bizui mitzvah, noila mizbech? There are more fundamental reasons why they can't use their feet. So obviously they needed kelim, they needed magrefos. And that's why the majority of Rishonim understand that this refers to beregolim, not beraglayim. So the Mishnah goes on, so that uberagal moyim dashon some nation noyim zech umi yamav lo nisatzel akoyin milahotzi asadashen, and you never had kohanim being lazy about being motzi the dashen. What's the chiddush that they weren't lazy about this? So again, several shittos from Rishonim. The Mefarish writes that the chiddush is that even though it was a noyim mizbeach that it had so much dashen, still when it came time to remove the dashen, no one ever got lazy about it. I mean, it'd be so easy to make an excuse that they to get lazy about it and make an excuse why we shouldn't remove the dashen. Say, Adrabah, it's beautiful for the Mizbeach. Why should I take away the beauty? Kol Hoda, Kol Hodra, why should I take away all the beauty of the Mizbeach? No, no one ever made excuses. When it came time to actually do the Dishon of Mizbeach, they did take care of it. So even though they could have made excuses, Achronim just have trouble with that, that there was no Kohen Miyucha, there was no specific Kohen who had to do the Avodah of Hotzos Hadashen. There was no Pius, there was no lottery that they did for Hotzos Hadashen. So who is this Kohen whose job it was, who it's a Chiddush, that guy, the guy whose job it was, never got lazy. The Be'er Sheva says, must be the Kohen who minidvas libo, decided that he's going to do it, never backed out on that job and never was lazy about that job. It's lav dafka that it was a Kohen whose job it was to do, but a Kohen who decided to do it. The Rambam, in Tamidim Musaf in Perek Beis Halacha Yudalit, writes that anyone of the Kohanim who wanted to be l'mali min adeshin, sharidu l'mizbech, l'tzil l'chutz, he was allowed to do it. There was no need for any pious. And the Rambam says, and no one ever got lazy about doing it, afal pi shein echad miyuchat shalav mutalasa safad zu. Meaning, that's exactly the chiddush. That since it wasn't anybody's job, one might have thought that it's kederi debetre lo chamimim velo karira, Chazal have an expression, that when two people are in charge of something, so it never really gets done, because each one relies on the other. So one might have thought, since it's nobody's job, there's no one that won a lottery that's granted the avoda of doing this, one might have thought it never actually got done. So that's the chiddush, the Rambam says, that even so, it always got done. The Meiri says that the chiddush is that even though it's not an avoda, one might have thought it's not an avoda, so people viewed it as beneath them or something that it's not worth their time. So still, lo nisatzel, no one was ever nisatzel. And again, the emphasis in this Mishnah continues to be on the zrizus with which people did the avoda in the Mikdash, that people were never nisatzel. Now, we said there were lo nisatzel the hotzi es hadash, and Rashi on Chumash in Parshas Achremos, Parakvav, Pasuk Dal, Rashi on Chumash writes that the Trumas Hadashen was a chova b'chol yom, but the Hotza'as Hadashen was not a chova b'chol yom. In Trumas Hadashen, you had to do each and every day in the Beis HaMikdash, but Hotza'as Hadashen did not have to be done every day. It was simply when the pile got too big, there was no room on the Maracha anymore for further karbanos, so then they had to be Motzi the Deshen. It was more of a practical thing. It was not a daily requirement. The Rambam, however, the Rambam in Tamid Musaf and Perek Beis Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam writes that every single day, how you gorf mesadash shel ma'aracha al gabei atapuach, vayu maridin min adashen b'kli gadol, they would take down from the deshen, they would be motzi the deshen each and every day, except for on the regalim, except for on the yom tovim, where it was noilim mizbeach not to be motzi the deshen, and that's how the Ravid writes in the Sasagas as well, that every day there would be motzi the deshen, and the tapuach shalefer al gabei mizbeach did not exist after the Hotzas Hadashen each and every day. They removed it each and every day. So the Mishnah Melech says that, wait a second, let's try to analyze what exactly is this din of Hotzas Hadashen. Is it a chiv min haTorah to be motzi the Hadashen? The Pasuk says, v'hotzi es Hadashen. Or maybe no, maybe that's not a chiv, maybe that's just a description, the Torah is describing what they did, but not that it was a chiv to do it, not that it's a mitzvah to do it, and maybe it's only a chiv midrabbanan to have such a navoda or such a service called Hotzas Hadashen. Now, if it's a chiv min haTorah, so then we need to understand where would Rashi get the idea to be mechalik between Trumas Hadashen, which is done each and every day, and Hotzas Hadashen, which is only done when they felt like it, when they needed to do it. If it's a chiv in the Torah, so l'chora, they should have done it every day just like the Trumas Hadashen. So Mishnah Melech writes that we don't find the Monei HaMitzvos count this as a mitzvah. They never count Hotzas Hadashen. They do count Trumas Hadashen. So what you see from there is that Hotzas Hadashen, even if it is a chiyuv min haTorah, it's not a mitzvah mitzad atzma. It's not its own independent mitzvah. It's a practical matter. They needed to be motzi the Deshen that was piled on the Mizbeach. And the Torah says, Vahotzi es Hadashen, and there was a tachlis for the Hotzah, in order to clear off the Mizbeach, to make room for future karbanos. So Rashi says, when there was a practical need for it, that's when you had to do it. If absent the practical need, so you don't have to do it. That's Shitas Rashi. The Rambam holds that, yeah, Enochinami, it's not a mitzvah, nobody counts it as a mitzvah, but it's a derech kavod to clear off the ashes every day to make sure that the Mizbeach is as clean as possible and as uncluttered as possible for the Kohanim to be able to do whatever they needed to do on top of the Mizbeach. So Enochinami, it's not a chiyuv of Hotzas Hadashen in terms of its own independent mitzvah, but why wouldn't you do it every day? You have the opportunity to clean off the Mizbeach. So it's not a mitzvah, not a chovah to be motzi the Hadashen. So on the regalim, they didn't have to. That's why that was their excuse, that they were able to say, Noilim is Beach, so we're not going to do it on the Regalim. Yeah, wonderful, so don't do it on the Regalim, but each and every day where you have the opportunity to make the Mizbeach clean, make the Mizbeach look nice, so that was a much greater kavod for the Mizbeach. Weiter in the Mishnah, on the top line of Chavtas Amra'alef, Heichelu Malin Begizrin Lesadr Samaracha, so they were Mala the Gizrin, the blocks of wood, to be Mesadr the Marach, or the wood, the pieces of wood to be Mesadr the Maracha, the Sidr of the Maracha, the arrangement of the wood pile on top of the Mizbeach, actually involved two parts. There was the cedar of the actual Atzei HaMaracha with the kosher types of woods that they were allowed to use, and then there was an additional halacha of Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, of taking two additional blocks of wood. So those Shnei Gizrei Eitzim were on the Maracha Gedola, both by, you had to add them both B'Tomishal Shachar and B'Tomishal Ben Arbayim. So B'Pashtus, our Mishnah is talking about, we're going in order of what they did. So Pashtus, we're talking about just setting up the pile. We're not talking about the additional Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. We're talking about setting up the original pile on the Mizbeach. Tos Yishanim and Yuma says, why doesn't it say over here the other halacha also? It never mentions anywhere in this Masechta the additional Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. is Reyetim. It just talks about whatever this is, which we assume is talking about setting up the original pile. So it's a good kasha. The Rush says that over here we are talking about the Shnei Gezrei Etzim. Sounds like he says that we are talking about the additional Shnei Gezrei Etzim, and we're just mentioning what they do to finish the job of being Mesader the Ma'aracha. So says the Mishnah, V'chikol Eitzim K'sher L'Ma'aracha, and what, do you think you can use all Eitzim that you want for the Ma'aracha? Not all Eitzim are kosher. Kol Eitzim K'sher L'Ma'aracha Chutz Mishal Gefen V'shal Zayis. Almost all Eitzim are kosher. They're not allowed to use Atzei Gefen and Atzei Zayis. Avol Be'elu Hayu Regilim. But the most commonly used Eitzim were B'marvil Shel Te'ena, leaves of a fig tree, Shel Egos of nuts, V'shal Eitz Shemen, and of Eitz Shemen. Those were the most common types of wood to use. Cedar samaracha gedola mizracha. They were misadid the maracha gedola on the eastern side. The chazisa mizracha, and the chazis, its chazis was on the east. What is the chazis? So the mefarish says they made like a little window on the side of the maracha on the eastern side, so that the wind would be able to blow into it and make the fire continue to go. Would enable the fire to get stronger. The Rambam in the Parashat Mishnah says Chazis is a lashon of Chazis, like we find in Masechet Basra. The beginning of Masechet Basra, the Gemara talks about, the Mishnah is talk about rather, when you have two shutfin that own a chatzer, so they decide to build a wall in the middle of the chatzer, so they have to build it smack in the middle, and if the wall is 6 tefachim thick, so they should have 3 tefachim on one side, 3 tefachim on the other side. Let's say one of them doesn't want to build a wall and the other one does, so the guy who wants to build a wall, and it's ain't ben kedei chalukah, you can't force the other guy to build a wall. So if you want to build your own wall, you have to be machnes b'toch shalo. You go into your own property and build a whole wall in your own property. But wait a second, how's anyone ever going to remember that you did it entirely in your own property? It's an easy way for your neighbor to move over the property line. So you made a chazis on the reverse side of the wall. You made some sort of symbol on the wall to make it evident that it was your wall. That was the sign that it was your wall and that it didn't belong to him. So the Rambam understands in the Perush Mishnayos, that's the kind of chazisei that we're talking about over here, that they would make a chazis on the maracha, on the eastern side of the maracha, to show that they began the maracha from the eastern side. And that's what the Rambam writes in the Yad HaChazaka as well. The only problem is, the Olas Talmud just raises the obvious question, why? What's the point? Meaning, what was the tachlis of making this chazis that everyone should know where the maracha started? So a little bit difficult. Not clear exactly why they would have to do something like this according to the Shitas HaRambam. Okay, says the Mishnah now, Vayter. Cedar samaracha gedola mizracha, the chazisa mizracha, v'rashi gzirin apnimim hayunogim betapuach. The blocks of wood would touch the tapuach. V'revach haya bein hagzirim shayimatzisim esalisa misham. And between the pieces of wood themselves, they left a little bit of space so that they could put flammable material in that space. If you ever made a bonfire, this is how you do it. You take or campfire, whatever. Leave a little bit of space between the wood so flammable material can get there so that it could ignite the wood properly. Bere misham atzei te'ena yafim, and they took from there good te'ena wood. Cedar samarach ashniel the ketores, and they used that to set up the second pile of wood for the ketores that they would burn the ketores on. Kenegin ma'aravis dromis, on the southwestern side, mashuch menakeren klapei tzafon arba amos, 4 amos to the north of the keren, to the north of the corner. Ba'omid chamesh se'in kachalim, and they would try to set up enough wood that it's going to produce about 5 se'in of coals from that wood. U'b'shabes ba'omid shmona se'in kachalim, sh'shama yinosu she'bezich levona shalachem apanim. And on Shabbos, they wanted enough wood to make about 8 se'in of coals from that wood, because on Shabbos they needed to burn extra things. They needed the bezich levona of the, they needed to burn the 2 spoons of levona from the lechem apanim, because along with the 12 loaves of lechem apanim, there were these 2 spoons of spices of levona that needed to be burnt on the mizbeach, that needed to be burnt. So that's why they needed a few extra coals. Ve'evarim v'apedarim shalonus achlu mibe'erev machzirin rosal maracha. Whatever evarim v'apedarim, whatever limbs were not consumed on the mizbeach the previous night, they would now, remember, we moved them off to the side at the beginning of the Mishnah. Now that we set them up, we set up the maracha. Aracha, we set up the pile of wood anew, we would bring those limbs back and put them on the Maracha, Veitisu Shtei Marachos Be'esh, and then they would light the Marachos, Yardu Valem Lishchas HaGazes. And then all the Kohanim would go down and go back to the Lishchas HaGazes. Now the Rambam writes in Tmidim Musaf and Perak Beis Halacha Hey, that the Evarmu B'dam Shalom Nisachlu Mibarev, they would put Bitsidei Ma'aracha Gedola. He doesn't say Al Ma'aracha Gedola or Be'emtzimara, Bitsidei Ma'aracha Gedola. So the Mari Korka says he doesn't understand, he doesn't know where the Rambam got this from, that they were Machzi, they Evarm Dafka to the Tzad of the Ma'aracha. We said before, they moved them to the Tzidei Mizbeach while they were setting up the Ma'aracha, but we don't find when they put them back that it was only Litzad HaMa'aracha. So he says that the Rambam must hold this misvara, that on the Ma'aracha they would put the Evari Tamid, and therefore they take the Evarim of yesterday from the Tzad in order to set up, to leave the middle open for today's Haktara, meaning the Haktaros of today still have to take precedence, and the halacha is that the Evari Atamid had to be burnt on the Maracha, so that has to take precedence. And yesterday's stuff would be relegated to the sides of the Maracha. Mikdash Tavit just adds that you can say the makar for this maybe a Gemara in Maseches Yuma Daf Chav Tesom and Aleph, that the that there's a halacha that the haktara of the karmen tamid has to be al ha'etzim mamish, that it shouldn't be with anything that's mafsik between the etzim and the karmen tamid itself. So since you're going to have to burn it al ha'etzim, so you don't want anything else in between, so you put this in the yesterday's evarim off to the side so that you can leave the middle with the etzim directly being exposed to the what we're going to be burning today. There's also machlokas rishonim when they would do this. Would they be machzid these evarim before the tamid or after the tamid? The Mefarish says that it must be after they burnt the evari tamid that they were machzid the evarim upadarim, yesterday's evarim upadarim to the maracha. Because how can you be machzid anything on the maracha before the evari tamid? After all, we just learned recently ha'ola ola rishona that the first hakrava each and every day is supposed to be the karmen tamid. So how can you do the hakrava of yesterday's evarim before the karmen tamid? Karmen tamid has to be the first thing you do every single day. But the Rush says no, they were able to be machzir these evarim before the Karban Tamid, as the Mishnah says it. The Mishnah is clearly listed before the Karban Tamid, and that's how the Ravid says as well, that the Akhtaris evarim shalatmol were shaykh to yesterday. They weren't shaykh to today. And that's why it's not a violation of bringing anything before the Karban Tamid. I'm not allowed to bring anything in today's avoda before the Karban Tamid, but something left over from yesterday's avoda, there's nothing wrong with bringing that before the Karban Tamid. So that's the Machlokas, Mefarish and the Rash Mistama over here, is what exactly, how do we view the returning of the various limbs that did not get fully burnt from yesterday? Is that the first avoda of today, or is that just finishing up from yesterday? The Ritva gives another reason why it's not going to be a problem to burn these before the Karban Tamid. He says the whole Isser Lefnei HaTamid is only Bizmana Tamid, but Belaila, where the Zmana Tamid has not yet arrived, so you are allowed to be Maktir. And even though we're already past Kros HaGever, but it's not yet fully day, it's not yet daytime yet, so that's why they were allowed to burn these things, to finish up the burning from yesterday before the Karban Tamid. So that's how the Ritva understands. But again, simple Machlokas Rishonim, when exactly this would happen may depend on how we view the burning of yesterday's limbs. Is that the first avoda of today, or is it the last avoda of yesterday? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Guzma. So Rava says our Mishnah is an exaggeration. Now our Mishnah said a lot of things. What's an exaggeration? So Mistama that we and we'll see soon. He's going on the Shalosh Meos Kur, 300 kor that of ashes that were on the Tapuach. That's an exaggeration. Hishkras Atamid Bekos Shal Zahav Amarava Guzma. Similarly, we say that they would have to give the Karban Tamid to drink before they would shechtu, because it makes for easier skinning when he's properly hydrated. So they would there was such beauty in everything that we did in the Beis Hamikdash that they would actually give the animal to drink from a golden goblet. And Rava says, come on, that's a guzma. Why would they give an animal from a golden cup? That's got to be a guzma. Amar Rabbi Ami Dibra Torah Lo Shnavai. Dibru Nevi'im Lashnavai, Dibru Chacham Lashnavai. The Torah, the Chacham, the Nevi'im, they all spoke Lashnavai. Now Lashnavai literally means nonsense, nothingness. So the Chuvas Marami Panu writes, should be obvious to us in Siman Gimel, that it's a Davar Barur, that even the Havai Shel Torah and the Chachamim is Srich Limud. It doesn't mean that it's a Davar Batel, that they're saying nonsense. It means, Lefi Pshuto, it sounds like it's just a Guzma, it sounds like it's just an exaggeration, and there's no rhyme or reason to the numbers that they give. But each and every time that they say something that sounds like a guzma, there's a reason that they give that particular guzma. Meaning, the it certainly requires limud. Even the sicha schulin shel tamid chacham tzrich limud. So certainly the examples given when they're magzim also requires limud, and there are messages that are trying to be conveyed. They're just saying if you take it literally, that's how. It's nonsense to take it literally because it's not meant to be 100% literal. So the Gemara is now going to give examples. Now that we know that the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Chacham all speak Lashon Havai, so Dibra Torah Lashon Havai Dichsiv, where do we find that the Torah speaks Lashon Havai? Torah says, Arum Gedolos Uvetzuros Bashamayim. These are large cities fortified to the heavens. Well, Bashamayim Salgadaitach. You think they're fortified all the way up in the heavens? Nah, El Guzma, it's only a Guzma. Dibru Chacham Lashon Havai Hadiamran. Tapuach, right? That's what we said, that the Chacham speak Lashon Havai, like we find in our Mishnah of Tapuach, and V'hishkras Otam B'koshel Zav, and where we find that they would give the Karban Tamei to drink in a Koshel Zav. Dibru Nevi'im Lashon Havai D'chsiv, we find Nevi'im speak Lashon Havai, Pasuk says, V'yalu Kolamachra V'am Mechalim B'chalilim U'smechim Simcha G'dola V'atibaka Ha'aretz B'kolam, or B'kolam, the Pasuk actually says, that they played so many musical instruments that there was an earthquake from the sound of the musical instruments. It means there was a large marching band. It doesn't mean that there was not an actual earthquake. That there were three places that the Chacham speak Lashon Havai. I once heard Shneur Lyman speak, and the person who introduced him gave, he deserves a nice introduction, but it was a very, very over the top introduction. His opening line was, you know, our rabbis tell us, Dibru Chacham Lashon Havai. The rabbi who introduced me is a chacham indeed. And if with that introduction, lashon havai, lashon guzma, that we speak in exaggerations. So where do we find that shloshim mekamos dibur chacham lashon havai ve'eluhem tapuach gefen uparochas? So we find by the tapuach and by gefen and by parochas. Now we don't know what that means yet. We'll see soon what gefen and parochas refers to. Lafuke midrava. This is all to tell me not like Rava. The Tanan hishkas tam bekoshel zav amarava guzma. Rava held there was a fourth place, that giving to drink from the golden cup was also a guzma. So we're saying, no, that's not a guzma. There are only three examples of guzma. Kamash milan hani in hasam einanis makamashirus. The ones that we're saying are guzma, but the one with the golden cup is not a guzma. Adrabba, there was a reason that they did that. Einanis makamashirus, that in the Beis HaMikdash, we always went all out. We never were stingy with how we spent money in the Beis HaMikdash, because there's nothing that's too much for the service of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what are the three examples of actual Lashon Havai? So Tapuach HaDiamran, Tapuach again is like we said in the Mishnah, 300 cord of ashes just never happened. Gefen Ditanya, Gefen is based on the following Braisa. Gefen Zav Haisal Medes Al Pesach HaHechal, there was a golden grapevine that would stand by the doorway of the Heichal, umudva agabe klunsos, and it was leaning on poles. Now, there are no poles that could hold a golden grapevine. It would have been so heavy, any poles would have buckled under the weight of the golden grapevine, meaning certainly golden poles would have buckled, and wooden poles would be a problem. The Rishonim discussed, were these wood? If it was wood, what about losita l'cha asher kaleitez l'zbech Hashem? How are they allowed to have wooden poles? Okay, whatever it was. V'kol misha misnadev, Allah ogargir oeshkal, maybe v'tolabai. And anyone who wanted to make an adava of a leaf or a grape or a cluster of grapes would come and bring it and just hang it on that golden grapevine. Amar ablaz rabbi tzaddik maisa yevnim no la'sholosh meos kohanim lefnosa. One time they needed 300 kohanim just to remove it because it was so heavy, it was so big. So that's the Havai of the grapevine. paroches. What's the example of paroches? Where do we find the Chum speak Balashon Guzma when it comes to paroches? So we're saying that there actually was this golden grapevine. The Guzma is that it took 300 kronim in order to remove it. That's how the Mefarish explains. Where do we find Guzma by paroches? The paroches was one tefach thick. It wasn't a thin piece of cloth, it was a tefach thick. And it was woven with 72 strands. Each nima itself was made up of wound up 24 strings wound up together. So orcha arba'i mama v'rachva esr mama. The actual curtain was 40 amos by 20 amos. Umishmonim v'shtayim ribo na'asis. And it was made with 82 times 10,000. Right? So it was made with 820,000. So what does that mean? Made with 820,000 watts. So this is a machlokas rishonim. What we're referring to when we say rishonim shayim ribanasis. Rashi Maseches Kulin says we're talking about the number of strings used in the making of the paroches. That's how the Bar Tanur says in Shkalim as well. The Gras says that if that's the case, why doesn't it say Ubishmonim v'shtayim with the bays, not umishmonim. So, right, that would be the more appropriate terminology. So Rashi says another possibility is that no, we're referring to the number of people they needed to make it, how many na'aros were used, and that's how the Mefarish says over here as well. Third possibility of what it means, the Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayos Tishkalim says it refers to the number of dinari zahav that it cost to make this paroches, and that's how the Gra and the Be'er Sheva write as well. So again, three possibilities of what this 820,000 is. Is it the number of strings, the number of people, the number of dinari zahav? Either way, it was a lot. And they would make two of these each and every year. And they would need 300 kohanim to be matpilit. So there is guzma here. Exactly which part is guzma, which part is not. Presumably the 820,000 part is guzma. The 300 kohanim may not be guzma. The Gra's a whole vart about how if you think about the measurements of 40 by 20 and you go around the whole perimeter of it, you actually, if you took the tfachim of the kohanim's hands, it would be exactly 300 kohanim that would be used to hold on to it. Okay, so maybe that's not a guzma, but they would make two of these every year, and somewhere in this description there is guzma. Why would they make two of them every year? So the Mefarish says that there were two parochos between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that's why you needed two of them, because there were two curtains hanging. That's why Rav Moshe has a tshuva in the parochos by the Aron. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that you shouldn't make a split parochos. Someone asked him, can you have a parochos that has words on it, that when you open it down the middle on Shabbos, is it a violation of any malacha on Shabbos of erasing the words on Shabbos? So he goes through the whole issue of whether it's considered a problem or not, and then he says, but you shouldn't have split parochos anyway, because that's not our Masorah. Masorah is we only have a single parochos. So Shachta once remarked to me, that's such a strange tshuva, because in the Beis HaMikdash they had a split parochos. Not a split, it was one behind the other with a little bit of non-overlap, but there was two parochos in the Beis HaMikdash. So a little bit difficult to understand. But that's how the Mefarish understands. That's what we're talking about, the two parochos that they had hanging between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Rosh, however, quotes Yesh Mefarshim that the parochas that we're talking about over here was by the Pesach HaUlam, that there was a parochas that was there, that was a Litznius, and that was just one parochas. Why did they make two of them? One as a backup, in case the first one became Tameh. That's a whole other discussion. How could it become Tameh? Isn't this part of Kavua Bebinyan? Isn't it considered to be like part of the actual building? Is it even eligible to become Tameh? Okay, so there's a lot to talk about over here, but let's try to finish up the daf. So Heichlu Malin Begizrin the Sadr Samaracha, Chutz Mishal Zayis Mishal Geffen. We said they would use all sorts of wood except for Zayis and Geffen. So Hani my time, why is Zayis and Geffen disqualified? So if Papa Amar Mishum Dekatri, because they have knots in them and therefore they don't burn easily. It's they don't burn smoothly. Ravacha Bar Yaakov Amar Mishum Yishuv Daretz Yisrael. No, it's just we don't want to cut them down. It's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We don't want to knock down Geffen and Zayis. So Meisvei Aleitzer. So what is it dafka about those that we don't want to knock down because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Probably because they are two of the seven medium Shnishtapchu Ben Eretz Yisrael. It's not just stam any fruit trees. Dafka these two types. Meisvei Aleitzer Masher Aleish Eitzim Anutuchem Mios Eish Umaynihu Doker Shvud Lo Katri VaAzli Makto Mitocha. We're talking about these nice logs that don't have knots in them, and therefore it makes nice smoke right away. V'chikale etzim ksherim marachain. Wait, are all etzim kashal maracha? Kale etzim ksherim chutzman zayis v'gefen. Av belo irugilin, but the ones they would most commonly use were b'marbi or shaltein of shalego v'shaleit shemen. Rabbi Elazar Mosif, we're still not at the question. Rabbi Elazar Mosif, av shal mayish v'shal alon v'shal dekel v'shal char v'shal shikma. He adds a whole bunch of other types of wood that they would commonly use. So bishal madiyam rishum dekat. If you say that the reason that they dafka wanted to stay away from Geffen and they wanted to dafka stay away from Shemen, from Zayis, is because of it had knots in it, so I understand what the machlokas is about. The marsav rafagav de lo katri mikavoy, given to katri mavroi lo maisinan, that one sheetah holds that even if it just has knots on the outside but the inside doesn't, still you wouldn't bring it. The marsav given to lo katri mikavoy, afagav de mavroi katri maisinan. The other one would say, no, since it doesn't have knots on the inside of the wood, even though there's nothing on the outside, so it will burn plenty smoothly, it'll be fine. But if you hold the whole issue as Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so why are you allowed to use a dekel? Shouldn't a dekel also be a problem of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So that's the question. I mean, we gave two reasons why, not to use Geffen and not to use Zayis, and one of the reasons was Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. If that's the case, then how can we use dekel? So Amalach L'temech Te'ena L'espa Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Well, according to that, with the best thing to use, we said, is Te'ena. Te'ena, you don't think, has an issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. No, we're talking about a Te'ena that doesn't produce fruits anymore. So Dekonami B'dolavi D'pira. So that's the kind of Dekel that we're talking about as well. One that doesn't produce fruits anymore. And therefore, there is, in fact, no issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The whole issue is when you're taking away these Zayin Minim, but the Zayin Minim aren't being produced by these trees anymore. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up from two lines on the bottom. And finish up the second paragraph.